like to have a copy of God's word offered to you quite freely here this afternoon in Cannock. Only thing that that is free in the world today, anywhere else, word of God, which is able to make the simple wise, bring you to a knowledge of the Savior, faithful Savior, who is able to make satisfaction for your sins, that is, clear you before God, and of course to grant you the assurance of eternal life in His name. Like a copy of God's word, it's yours simply for the taking, offered to you quite freely. Gospel, good news, what the word means. Good news for sinners, that is, those who are out of God's way, those, that is, who like the rest of the human race, were conceived in sin and born in sin, shapen in iniquity, coming into the world, says God. And so therefore, all of us estranged from God. And in need, of course, a restoration, reconciliation, repair. Jesus says He came for the brokenhearted, set the captive free, relief for those oppressed, burdened, that is, by sin. And bids them, He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. Peace of God that passeth all understanding. Tranquilizes the heart and mind. Peace with God and the peace of God through Jesus Christ, through the gospel, the good news, God's salvation. Don't think there's a man born of a woman who has not at some point in their lives have prayed, have made some kind of utterance, that is, to the Almighty, maybe even unconsciously, maybe even blasphemously. But I don't think there's a man born of a woman who hasn't at some point in their lives made some kind of utterance. Yes, even to the God they claim doesn't exist. Of course, that is until things go south. That is until things go wrong, until some crisis, you know. Then, of course, He's the first name that comes upon their lips. But of course, prayer that's ineffective, that's powerless, that doesn't go anywhere, that doesn't get even beyond the clouds up there in the sky. And that's because, well, with regards to a wicked people, way back in the Old Testament, God's own people, you know, wicked and idolatrous. And as a result of that, they were, as a nation, they were sent into exile for their wickedness. They prayed, of course, they were religious people, not like the most of people in Cannock today, but they were religious, but their prayers were ineffective. Prophet says, because, and this is his words, thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayers should not pass through. Their prayers were uttered. They cried to God, but their prayers never penetrated the clouds above. Never got to the throne of God. Not heard by the Almighty, and not answered either. Maybe, perhaps. Perhaps that's you, I don't know. You know, maybe on the occasion of some personal grief, in your life, family, something that's, you know, gone wrong. Maybe it's somebody else's suggestion. You've prayed, you've asked God to intervene, but it's been ineffective. You ever wondered maybe why? Of course, perhaps maybe in your unbelief you just turned away, you know, and God, He's not there, He doesn't understand, He doesn't answer prayers. This is a waste of time, it's ineffective. Maybe that's you, I don't know. Or maybe, you know, some religious zeal, there's still a lot of religious people about in England today, maybe some in Canada. Oh, they're very religious. Maybe they face in a certain direction, say their prayers, maybe. They do it 5 times a day, very zealous, but their prayers are ineffective. They don't go nowhere, they don't pass through the clouds, God doesn't hear them, they're ineffective. People, religious people in their zeal, you know, they pray, they make utterances, you know, to God or so they think, but it's all ineffective, it doesn't go anywhere, God doesn't hear, it doesn't get beyond the clouds above. Or maybe perhaps in the bitterness of tears, some great disappointment in your life, and in the bitterness, anguish of soul, torment. Oh, you've turned and you've cried, you know, and you've asked God to hear, to intervene, but it's all been ineffective. You ever wonder why that might be? Sad regrets, lost opportunities, personal experiences, and some people it's just mere sentimentality. I hear some people say to me, I say my prayers every night, you know, but they never get beyond the clouds, you know, they never penetrate the clouds above, they don't go nowhere, God doesn't hear them, they're ineffective, it's just mere sentimentality, that's all it is. And of course, you know, you got the OMG mob. You know, that's your youngsters here today. You know? Oh, they swear God doesn't exist. They swear there's no God. They swear by evolution that they've been indoctrinated with from the cradle and most of them to the grave. You know, and of course, as soon as they get excited, it's, God, huh? Oh my God. It doesn't exist in one breath, but in the next breath it's, oh my God. So that's a form of prayer, blasphemous, but a form of prayer, ineffective. You might as well say, oh my C-A-T, or oh my D-O-G, because God doesn't hear the prayers of unbelief. God doesn't hear the prayers of uncircumcised hearts. God doesn't hear the prayers of unregenerate people. God doesn't hear the prayers of those who are estranged from Him. Lest God breathe the breath of life into you. Lest you're reborn. Lest God bring you to that place of seriously, sincerely crying out to Him for mercy, the way of repentance and faith towards His Son, Jesus Christ. Your prayers never reach heaven. They're ineffective. They don't get through the clouds. God has covered Himself, the prophet says, as with a cloud. Says that your prayers do not pass through. And yet, other places in the Bible, God does assure us that if people call upon Him, He will hear and answer. So is there some kind of contradiction there? Not really. Not really. The problem, the ineffectiveness, you see, it lies with man. Lies with you, it lies with me, it lies with sinful gods, sinful creatures. That's where the problem is. See, we're all of us, the Bible says, incorrigible sinners. You see, we're conceived, we're born that way, the Bible says. And that's why, in that state and condition, unless God changes the heart. The book of Proverbs, it says, men shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. There's a way, you see, a way for a man to seek God. Seek ye the Lord, he says, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. But here's the thing, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. You're not ready to forsake your way, your pattern of living. You're not ready to turn away from your incorrigible sinfulness. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You're not ready for a heart change. You're not ready for heart surgery. You're not ready for that heart of stone to be taken out of you. You're not ready to turn from the pattern of living caused by your unbelief. And you can say, oh my God, as long as you like. You can call, but God will not answer. Not until that place, not until you come to that place. Down, down is the way up. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Then maybe, perhaps, and I mean sincerely, I don't mean flippantly, I don't mean frivolously. I don't mean just because you're having a bad day, not just because, you know, you got some grief or some disappointment, or because you got some upset in your life, because you want to be right with God. You want to walk with Him. You want to be right with God in time and for eternity. You want salvation from your sin. Your sin. Incorrigible sinners. That's what we are. Conceived and born that way. Come into the world that way. So is it any wonder that God doesn't hear? That your prayers, however you utter them, that they're ineffective. They don't pass through the cloud. God doesn't hear them. We're all of us miserable. And the adjective is miserable apostates. The word apostate means deserters. Deserters from God, to a man, to a woman. And miserable with it. You're not even happy with it. You see, you can live without God, you don't need Him. You can get by, you can cope. Can you? Yeah, in your misery, in your miserable apostate condition, that's how. He's as miserable as sin, you see. He's as miserable as sin, you see. Sin, you see, that makes you misery, takes the happiness away from you. How can a man or woman live a happy life without God, without their Maker, without God's salvation? This is not possible. Deserters to a man, to a woman, on the run from God. But of course, the day is coming when you'll meet Him. Your sin will take you out of this world, nothing else. Not cancer, not some other disease, not a heart attack. It's sin that will take you out of this world. Wages of sin is death, you see. It's the payment of the wages that's due to you. Your sin will take you out of this world into the presence of Almighty God. You'll stand before Him. And your desertion, well, I think, well, but in days past, at least anyway, in the military, they used to shoot deserters. But here God presents you with salvation. Isn't that amazing? And the grace of God, the gospel of God, deserters, apostates, instead of being put against the wall and shot, these deserters are presented with salvation. wonder your prayers are not heard. No wonder your prayers, your OMGs, oh my God, no wonder they're not heard. Blasphemous utterances, that's what they are, coming from the lips, not the hearts, but the lips of deserters. But God in the gospel and sending his son Jesus Christ into the world in order that deserters might be turned around, turned back to God from the dark path of sin, made right with God, and brought to that place where God will hear and will answer their sins. Seriously, sincerely uttered from a heart that's been regenerated, reborn, replaced with a heart of flesh and a heart of stone removed. Circumcised hearts, what you need for your prayers are going to be effective. Otherwise, they don't pass through the cloud. They don't get there. Prayer should not pass through. Then, of course, you got the nominal, unbelieving prayers. You know, people who would call themselves, oh, I'm a Christian, yeah. Oh, I hear it all the time, you know. Just about everybody. You know, they claim to be a Christian and walk away the next minute, they're blaspheming God's name. Maybe, perhaps, they're even attenders at a place of worship. But their lives deny the faith that they claim, nominal, unbelieving. You know, churches throughout your country are full of them. Full of them. But unrepentant. They don't live in the way of repentance. They don't live out the reality of a real faith, a saving faith, a faith that lays hold upon Jesus Christ, that trusts him for forgiveness, that repents every day, every hour from sin, that cries out in their sinfulness to Jesus Christ, the only faithful Savior, that looks to him for pardon, that day by day seek to be washed in the blood of the Lamb, God's Lamb, God's Son, Jesus Christ. See, there's no other way back to God from sin's dark path. No other way by which the prayers of a man, a woman could possibly be heard by God. They must be filtered through the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Nothing else would be acceptable. All ineffective, nominal, unbelieving prayers. What a misnomer that is. What a piece of nonsense is that? Unbelieving prayer. Now, no wonder. Maybe you've tried. Maybe you've uttered some kind of words to some kind of deity, but you found it to be ineffective. Well, the problem's not on God's side, believe me. He's powerful, mighty to answer prayers. He hears the prayers of his people, those who sincerely call upon his name, those destitute, broken by their sin, burdened, heavy laden with their sin, looking for rest, looking for peace with God, and looking for the peace of God. God hears such prayers, but not nominal, unbelieving prayers of religious people or otherwise. And of course, sometimes, you know, in the Bible, we're told that even genuine Christians, those who have been born again, times when God doesn't answer their prayers, the occasion, the apostle, the New Testament of the Bible, three times he required of God that he should hear and answer his prayer, but the answer was no. Because God answers prayer according to his will, not man's will, not yours. God's not a genie in a bottle, you know, just for you when it suits you, and when you feel like it, you think you'll call his name, and that you'll get your desires, whatever they might be, sinful or otherwise. Then when you don't get what you want, well, then you turn away and your unbelief and you harden your heart some more. And what will be the end, I ask you, of such tragic people, such apostates, deserters from God? If God so treated His old people in the Old Testament, sending them into exile because of their wickedness, what will He do to you? Estranged from God, far away from God, and God deaf to your calls. Now, there's got to be a change. Got to be a change of heart. There's got to be a change of your nature. Spiritual darkness, you know, you have to be delivered from. No awareness of God or even the reality of your state and condition. There's more than just what you think, it's what you say and do. It's your very nature, conceived in sin, born in sin, says God. And therefore children of wrath. So how could God possibly? How could your prayers be effective? How could God possibly hear and answer your call? Even your blasphemous utterances, oh my God. Maybe perhaps you would like, if you really truly don't believe that there is such a being, maybe perhaps you ought to leave His name alone. Because all you're doing is mounting up more debt against yourself. But of course you make that utterance, why? Because you know that God is, that's why. Just like everybody else, not a man, woman, child in all this world who's an atheist. Such a thing does not exist. There are no atheists. Y'all believe in God. But of course you're under His wrath and displeasure because of your sinful nature. Because of the way in which you were state, in which you were born. So unless that changes, and that's more than you can do, takes God to do that, takes almighty power to do that. More than being just religious, more than just uttering some words, you know, every night before you go to bed, but sincerely, seriously, on your knees crying out to God that He would have mercy upon you, a sinner. Maybe perhaps that's where to begin, that the darkness, spiritual darkness might be lifted. And you're given an awareness of God, the reality of your state and condition before God, and your spiritual discomfort. You know, no light, all darkness, traveling through this world and facing the storms of life. Of course, they cause you sometimes to make these utterances, but they go nowhere. They're ineffective because there's been no spiritual light, because there's been no spiritual understanding of your state and condition, because you're still in the darkness of your sin, because you're still traveling through this world in your carnal state and flesh in which you were born. Friends, Jesus says you must be born again, except a man be born again. He cannot see, perceive, understand the kingdom of God, understand his own spiritual nature, and understand, of course, well, the things of God, that's a given. Only God can give you that, and of course deliver you from the spiritual distress, you know. The Bible talks about a storm brewing, the wrath of God to come. But it speaks of the present wrath of God, displeasure that is of God, the anger of God. It's not a God, you know. God doesn't fall into a rage, you know. Doesn't lose His temper the way that you do. No, it's His constant attitude of displeasure, of holy wrath against sinful men and women, apostates, deserters from God, conceived and born in sin. Wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, in their wickedness. That's presently, that's just now. That's as you walk through this vale of tears, this valley of death. That's as you walk through this miserable place, planet Earth. But then, of course, the Bible talks about the brooding storm, the one that's coming, the one that, unless you're planted firmly, the solid rock of Jesus Christ, unless you're grounded in Him, His person, faith in His person, and faith in His saving work, His death and resurrection, I tell you, when that storm comes, and it's coming to the believing and the unbelieving alike. But the only ones that will stand in that day are those who are planted firmly on the rock, Christ Jesus, the rock of ages, the eternal Son of God, born into this world in order that men and women might be reconciled to God. Why the Son of God came, don't you know? Why died the cross, don't you know? Why shed His blood, don't you know? That you might be reconciled to God and one with God. But what's that take? Well, for God to work in you, for God, you know, to do the business in your heart, for God to bring you to a realization of your state and condition. That your prayers are ineffective, that they're not heard by God, however they be uttered, whenever. Unless God's in it, unless God does the business, salvation is of the Lord God that is. He saves and saves, of course, to the uttermost all those who come to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, that is. No other way by which a man can come. You can pray in any name you like, Muhammad, Pope of Rome, your local priest, any name you like, Buddha, Confucius, but don't go nowhere. Don't pass through the clouds, doesn't get to the throne of God. You get no answer. It's ineffective. Unless you come in the name of Jesus. I should come in the name of God's only Son, only begotten Son, the one who came full of grace and truth to bring grace to us, the grace that reconciles to God, to bring truth to us, truth that makes a man and woman free, truth about themselves, the truth about God, truth about His salvation. It's all to be found in the Word of God. You want to learn how to pray and to pray effectively? Well, then you need the Bible, you need God's Word. He'll teach you how to pray and pray effectively in a way that you'll be heard and answered favorably. The way by which you can be brought into a right relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. So effective prayer and the cause, of course. Well, you know, God does answer prayer. He assures us of that in the Bible. So the cause, you know, God's unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Never changes. So friends, you know, the problem must lie with you. The problem must lie with mankind, not with God. He's still the prayer answering God, but do you call? On your knees before God, you cry out day and night, seriously, sincerely, knowing what you are, knowing what you're worthy of. And that's not His favor, believe me. Every one of us, not worthy of the least of His blessings. But as God, through Jesus Christ, His Son, He does grant blessing. It's our unfitness that's the problem. Worldly. You can't be a friend of the world, the Bible says, and be a friend of God, one or the other. The world has to be forsaken. Selfishness, you know, Not thinking that the world revolves around you. No, it doesn't. It revolves around God. That selfishness has to go, has to be repented of, turned from. And of course, there's the self-righteousness. Now, you're not as bad as others. You look down your nose at those who are worse than you, or so you think, at least anyway. And all you preen your feathers and you think, well, I'm not like all other men. I'm better than them. No, you're not. Every single one of us, born in sin, conceived in sin. Every one of us on the wrong side of God. But for His mercy and grace, none of us would be saved. None of us would be able to pray, call upon the name of the Lord effectively. So the problem, you see, it's our unfitness is the problem. Our worthless prayers, heartless, no thought to them, no feeling, no sincerity, no seriousness. You think, oh my, G-O-D, that'll get you out of the trouble? No, I doubt it very much. No, blasphemous prayers God doesn't hear. No, on your knees, humbling yourself before God. That's the way up. That's the way up, friends. The only way by which you'll be heard. When you get yourself in the dust before the cross of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and cry out for the mercy that you don't deserve. Sorry? No, that's you, son.
I'm not crying.
Oh, you are. From the cradle and probably to the grave, unless Jesus saves you. You're indoctrinated. You're indoctrinated by your parents, by your school teachers, by your music, by every other divvy that you associate with. You're brainwashed, indoctrinated. What?
If he's that good, why are you going to preach about him? If he's that good, we'll believe in him.
Sorry?
If he's that good, then we would only believe in him. If we don't want to believe him, that's our choice.
No, it's not.
You haven't got a shout.
Nah, you got no choice. You got no only choice you've got is sin. That's the only choice you've got is sin. Well, because you...
It's his choice, but when you shout about it, I'll find it very... Yeah. No. Did you see what I mean?
Yeah. Madam, the young man can speak if he wants. The young man can speak if he wants.
I shout about it, I find it very... We don't believe
in
good. I don't see.
Yeah, it's true. So, like you say, friends, you know, it's mankind's is a problem, you see. Conceived and born in sin. That's why you don't believe. That's why you don't pray. That's why you're not right with God. That's why, you see. It's the natural state, you see, in which man is born. Unless God intervenes, unless God, by the gospel, by the preaching of the gospel, the means, you see, by which God has ordained to save the precious souls of men and women through the preaching of the gospel. Foolishness, of course, to those who are perishing, says God. You think the preaching of the gospel is foolishness? Well, that's because you're perishing. That's because you're dying in your sin. That's because you're lost on your way to a lost eternity. Let God save you. Young man thinks he's got choice in the matter. Only choice you got is to sin. Because you got a sinful nature. And any choice you make will be a sinful choice. Will be in defiance of God. Will be contrary to God. It's all you can do. So God changes your nature. So God gives you a new heart. Gives you a new life. Gives you eternal life. You'll always make the wrong choices and ineffective prayers too. So the problem, you see, is unbelief. That's the capital crime, you know. That's the bottom line, is your unbelief. Again, like young man says, he doesn't believe. Tell me about it. That's why I'm here. Because you don't believe. That's your problem. That's the capital offense. God commands all men to believe. Commands all men everywhere to repent of their sin, to turn from their wicked unbelief. Because that unbelief, you see, keeps sin keeps you under the condemnation of God. Murderer, rapist, child abuser, adulterer, fornicator, drug artist, sodomite, whatever you are, that can be forgiven, that can be cleared, you can be made right with God, but stay in your unbelief, you stay under the condemnation of God, and any praying that you do will be totally and absolutely ineffective. Your prayers will not go through the clouds, will not reach the Almighty. So I might suggest to you that today that you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Get on your knees. That's the place to begin. Maybe go home, shut your door. You know, lock it. Get on your knees with an open Bible. Cry out to God. Where would I begin, you say? Here. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And if you mean it, if it's sincere, if you persist, if you carry on and give him no rest until he comes to you, until you know that he's heard you, until you know that you've been forgiven, until you know that you've been pardoned, until you know that you have eternal life in your soul, you don't give up. That would be the starting place. And who knows, but maybe God will hear you. Who knows, but maybe your prayer will go through the clouds. Maybe God will hear and answer you. Maybe God will grant you forgiveness, eternal life. But it will only ever be through His Son. Not because of you. Not because of anything good in you. Not because of anything you've done. Not because you're a good person. On the contrary, it will only be because of Jesus Christ. Only in His name. Only because of His work, His death, His dying, His blood shed on the cross, that vile sinners like you might be reconciled to God. Know the way back to God. I am the way, the truth, and the life, says Jesus. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. One name alone, Jesus Christ. Maybe perhaps you ought to begin there with Him. Cry out to Him that He would have mercy upon you. Show you favor here and answer your prayer. Even today. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, but cry, call out to Him, be merciful to me, a sinner. Are you yet of the breath of life in you? For how long? How long will you have the breath of life in you? Who knows, but this may be your last day on planet Earth. Who knows when you'll breathe your last and go out of this world? Today, maybe the last time that you ever hear the overtures of God's love, grace, and favor. God was to require your soul of you tonight. Where would you spend eternity? The devil, hell, provided for the devil and his angels, are in heaven with God. A reconciled God to His Son, Jesus Christ. Only way back to God. Jesus is His name. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repent ye and believe the gospel, says the Son of God. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom God is at hand. You like a copy of God's word? Look into these things for yourself. See that they are so according to the word of God. Like a copy of God's word, you come and ask for it freely offered.